So I'll call the meeting to order of the City of Newport Airport Committee meeting. Today's date, approval of the minutes for the September 10th.
Okay to me.
Second.
Okay. Been moved in second in favor. Say aye.
Aye.
Okay, Ted, the report on...
Mr. Jess, do you want to sit there?
No, I can sit right down here. I got to apologize to Ralph anyway. I gave you misinformation and...
Yeah.
No, like that.
You figured out anyway?
Were you here?
I'm here a half hour early.
Yes, of course I was, okay. And I got Jeff to come half
hour. Okay, Ted, you're on for a report.
Oh, I am?
Uh-huh.
Already?
Wow. Uh-huh. You're 3:30.
Okay. Well, let's see. Here's a couple things I wanted to let you know from the airport, specifically. The Coast Guard, this month they used 7,100 gallons of fuel. An average fueling of 120 gallons. We fueled them 60 times, five nighttime fuelings. So that's the report from that part.
And is there any news on when they're going to get their facility fixed, or are they?
They're still, and they're the last I heard was they're still trying to figure out whether or not it's going to be valuable enough for them to purchase a fuel farm and put it in and stuff, because they're seriously considering just going with FBO.
I think we should take down 6 gallons of super glue and make sure that they don't use their fuel.
That's what I keep saying. Is, you know, just every time something builds up over there, take a chain and tear it back down. Let me see what else.
Are we negotiating with them on any kind of a deal?
Right now, no. They're paying the $4.95 that everybody else is paying, and I don't know if they want to get a contract with us, then, you know, that's going to be someone a whole hell of a lot smarter than me that would be involved, or Lance or Terry, I would think. So once that starts, we'll get it up to...
I just wondered if they'd ask.
Not yet. So...
Don't ask.
Along that lines, you know, we were close to getting that GAI. You know, you have to sell so many gallons a month to qualify for the government, to get on the government service program, and I think that might put us over the top to qualify for that.
So, yeah, they don't sound like they're really anxious to build a fuel farm.
Well, no, with all the regulations associated with it, it's a hassle.
So let me see. Let me see if I can just highlight some other things. They recalibrated the Pris dispensing unit on the jet truck. Got no idea what that is. They have been. I was at the airport today, and they've been having a lot of geese problems. So they've done a few. They've been shooting a few geese out there. And there was a huge herd of elk out there today too, that right up against the fence. But
at least they're outside the fence.
Yeah, those are outside the fence, but the geese are inside the fence, and there was a lot of them in there today when I was there. Tractors, the tires on the tractor have been fixed. The F2 running boards have been fixed. And we've got the county work crews out there cutting inside the trench. The ditch between the air, they'll be cutting that tomorrow, I think. If not, they're not doing it today. Anyway, that's kind of the long and short of what's going on out there. Really short, more than long.
Okay. Emery property.
Okay, Derek, that would be you or Derek or
sure. Charlie. I'll take it. I'm gonna just pass the whole map around. There's a half a dozen of these. If you just take a glance and share where possible. This has to do with the Melzer array on the north end of the airport. We were notified by Will Emery, who owns property, a portion of that structure is on, that we don't have a current easement for that. And they want to talk to us about getting that easement updated, and they want guarantees of access to US 101 in exchange for updating the easement. The easement that the city had was dates back to 1993, and it was specific to a middle marker radio transmitter. and that basically if that, it was that specific, it was specific to that particular improvement, and if that improvement went away, this easement had to be renegotiated. Well, that improvement went away apparently in 05-06 when the current array was constructed. We have no record of that easement being updated. FAA has no record of a more current easement than this one. So at this point, I am taking Emory for the word that we do not have a current easement in that location.
How come we're involved, we the city are involved with that in the sense that that whole array is owned, operated, and maintained by the FAA?
Because of the terms of the agreement to construct that, we agreed to make sure that they had a right to put it there. So we're contractually responsible for it, if you want to think of it that way. The other wrinkle to it is that right-of-way at Southeast 62nd is not city right-of-way, that's county right-of-way. A portion of the structure is constructed in that right-of-way, so we have to get that resolved as well.
Oh.
So.
Derek, on this, the second part you said was 101 access. Were they thinking of maybe using, is that, like I said, 62nd is what we're seeing where those buildings are? Is that the road?
Ideally, I think, I think they were thinking, because we own a number of those lots on the north side of 62nd, and it's hard to see, but...
What street is this one here?
62nd.
That's 62nd.
Because I know they were thinking about north of that, they wanted some access there, but...
The county right-of-way portion would be relatively easy, they call it a maintained right-of-way.
Right, we just got to get it resolved.
There's not even really any paperwork they're going to take for it, it's just... in the right of way. We went to acquire some property from them on 63rd, which is immediately south of there, to do a pump station. They said there's no paperwork even involved because it's a government agency putting a piece of infrastructure in the right of way. And so, don't ask, don't tell for the scenario with the county.
I like those.
Well, with Double E, with Emory, I think they're flexible in terms of how we come up with an arrangement for them to get access. We're also in the process of working on an extension to Southeast 62nd from 50th South, kind of it's part of a looped access system through their industrial property, and it follows the alignment of the old railroad right-of-way. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking that conversation will happen concurrent with this. It's something that needs to be taken care of. They've put us on notice. We have a contractual obligation with FAA to deal with it, but we're not under a specific timeline at this point, to my knowledge, to get it resolved.
Derek, that doesn't involve the access to the gun station that the police department use?
No.
That's further south, isn't it?
There'd be a light green area.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm glad Tim's here, too. I mean, the idea we have out here at the airport, three of you guys here, that personally I think, and I think you may agree, that with the industrial development, hopefully from the airport north to 50th Street, Emory's property there, that would be the best way to gain access of sewer and water up through there, and sizing it up large enough to accommodate the airport instead of having to go through all the wetland issues up there in the 101. And then, of course, it would behoove the city to have an access at 62nd or somewhere in that area, to have that loop, so the sooner we can get industrial property on the market, the better off everybody's going to be, including the airport, because we can tie in from there. It was a pretty straight shot from along our borderline, right along through there. The only difficulty is that those gullies, but I would think that you can almost have a siphon line probably to handle most of that, but for sewage. But that's really our big sticking point, is not having enough, either no sewer or enough water flow currently. And Lance said something, you had some pump station going in somewhere. I was confused about that. But currently the airport pays $600 a month, to seal rock, and that's an expense we'd like to get rid of.
The city and Sierra Rock Water District are working on an intertie station, which would be immediately adjacent to the airport at what's the north road, 82nd Street?
No, 71st.
71st Street. The road that goes to the airport, or the
art station.
Right there.
Yeah.
Sea Rock Water District right now is at a higher water pressure than the city of Newport. So when we open our intertie, we can get water from them, but they can only get limited water from us. The connection with Sea Rock Water District, to whom they did their water, is precarious at best. I think they were put out of water 6 times last year. And so they want to improve their intertie with Newport to provide a redundant water source for them when they're put out of water by the city of Toledo. That's being funded through a FEMA grant, a mitigation grant. It's moving a little slowly because the property that they want to build the pump station on is on airport property, which would mean that it would have to either be an easement or actually released from the FAA. And Civil West and Melissa are working to acquire that. And what that would involve is running a new line down Highway 101 from where we terminated at 62nd Street with our last project down where that intertie station is. And the city would own everything from the station to the north, which would mean that we would then be able to provide water to the airport at that road where the fire station is. We could immediately tie the fire station in, but there's no infrastructure within the airport right now to support a water line from that point, and so that would have to be installed to be able to feed the FDO and the rest of the airport properties in order to take it off of Sea Rock Water. But water would be at the airport property itself, so then there'd have to be a further project within the airport to provide water. Sewer's a whole other animal. You can't build a pump station without demand. What I mean by that is, if you build a pump station at the airport, it wouldn't do anything, because you don't have any kind of wastewater discharge to support it. So what would really need to take place, and I did have an inquiry from somebody in the Circland area, if Circland needed sewer, that's when you really would see a sewer pump station down there. Or if there is some large commercial airport development that occurs, that would then drive a pump station. But you can't put in a pump station with capacity to meet future demand that would work, if you follow. Mm-hmm. There has to be demand to necessitate the use. Otherwise, you have a pump station that's so over capacity, it never runs. There's the hook. You know, development drives infrastructure in this case.
And it may be an issue here right when we respond is, but I think there's enough actual gravity flow around at that point.
I think goes clear south.
That's your issue. Yeah. There's not enough. It's the same problem.
You have that water. You can't get it going. There's no if, ands, or buts about it. You're in a location where you cannot get gravity flow to where you need to get it. So there's a pump station that will have to be put in at some point. The alignment is really not an issue. It's just the fact that you don't have enough.
Well, unfortunately,
wastewater flow to justify putting a pump station in.
And you really couldn't, you'd have to be separated by 3 feet, but if you try to go to even the piping in at the same time the water's in, it'd be
10 feet.
10 feet is a nice lot, yeah.
I mean, you can put a force main in, that's not an issue, but you don't know what size that's going to be, you don't know what that's going to serve. Ideally, you'd run it up the future proposed alignment of 50th to 62nd. Because it takes it to a location that we can discharge into a gravity sewer where it goes to our influent pump station. And as that property develops out commercially, I would expect that that would probably be the case. But that's, you know, that's down the road.
What are the condos, are the condos tied into the sewer, tied into the city sewer now?
Which condos?
Certainly.
No, South Shore here.
South Shore.
South Shore has its own pump station, and it's tied into the city sewer.
It is, okay.
There was a very elaborate design to tie in sewer and piggyback it in the South Shore pump station. It was not a good design. That station is not designed to be piggybacked nor handle much extra capacity beyond what it's already serving.
Okay.
You know, you kind of don't piggybacking pump stations.
Right.
Something that the city has done, and sometimes it's necessary, but in this case, it doesn't have to be done that way because there's a better alignment.
Right.
But again, it's driven by demand. And right now there is no demand. It's really the airport. I mean, that's a very small demand at the moment.
Water's Everybody different. Needs to start flushing their toilets out there more often.
No, the water is different simply for the fact that the cost of water is so high. It's not that you use that much water. It's just expensive to get. I mean, you don't use a drop of water and you get charged $300 at the South Beach Fire Station.
Right.
That's just for being connected because of the size of the service. Likewise, for the service that feeds the airport, you don't use much water.
No.
Sorry.
Time to go hunting.
Any other questions?
I would expect that intertie sometime in the next year to be constructed. They want to go sooner than that, but again, the property issue is just the thing that's driving the timeline. I think the design is really essentially finished. They can acquire the property and get the proper easements. Funding is in place, and they could go with construction on it. So I would expect probably next summer they'd do that.
So once there's an intertie, will there continue to be the bill for the airport from Seal Rock?
Yep.
Not for the fire station.
Not for the fire station.
But the airport sure would, because it's still tied to the Seal Rock Water District.
Until
such time as there's a distribution system built from that intertie to the airport, that's a whole other project.
And they get their water from Toledo, of all places.
Mm-hmm. Imagine.
Yeah, you're drinking Toledo water out there.
It's good water.
So is that big storage tank about 2 miles south of the airport on the hill, about 1 mile back from the shore, is that Seal Rock
Reservoir?
Well, it's just one more closer to developing the airport on a commercial basis.
Well, the thing that you would, the biggest benefit to getting city water is fire protection. Mm-hmm. You would have fire flow and pressure at that point.
Right
now you don't. You're at the end of the Seal Rock system. I mean, you'd be at the Newport system too, but we have infrastructure designed to handle fire flow. Seal Rock's not designed to deal with fire flow.
Right.
They're a distribution network only. So there's the clincher then. You know, that tank that the airport or that the Coast Guard has for fire protection would then become redundant.
Right.
They'd probably keep it, I would if I were them, but it's not needed anymore at that point.
Anything else?
Okay.
Possibilities at the airport?
What does that mean? Thanks, Tim.
Yep.
Thank you.
I think we just did. Yeah, we just did Tim and Derek both. So, we're up to.
Well, I guess Derek's okay. You found we had no problems evidently, so we're okay.
We're going to have to negotiate that new easement with Emory. It's going to take a little bit of time. We're not under an immediate time crunch, but it is something that we need to deal with.
Is that one little strip of land right there? Is that a subject to an annexation? I mean, is there any reason we should look into that? I mean, it's just warehouses along there, I guess.
Potentially. Yeah, I think, you know, it starts to feed into that larger conversation, too, about properties that are surrounded by the city and whether or not the city council wants to pull in all of those.
That's a bigger conversation we got to have. And that'll be
well, are these guys tied into the sewer water?
I'm not aware of any on 62nd down there. No, they're not in the sewer. They'd have to annex if they're in the sewer.
The other side of 101 is.
Yeah, South Shore, definitely.
Okay, that is.
Okay.
Thanks, Derek.
Yeah, you bet.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, before we jump to maybe Melissa's projects, I guess say, Tim outlined basically that if I was going to ask him if he needed some help from political reasons to get that property settled, but hopefully they'll get it. I guess he'll walk work on that. But as it gets to the fire station, we'll have water. And then he indicated that we don't have water from the fire station
to the FBO.
FBO. Fortunately, you know, water is under pressure, and Melissa, correct me if I'm wrong, but it'll be about 3 feet deep in a pipe and go up and down and sideways, you know. So getting water there is pretty straightforward, cost per length, and don't even need manholes, you know. You can get, call it, it's so much a foot, I mean, you can pretty much tell you how much it's going to cost. And I was wondering if maybe you could contact a couple of your contractors and find out how many feet there is and how much rough price would be to get water to the FBO.
For
fire flow, but also to connect it to the city so they can knock off, you know, I don't know, if it's connected to the hopefully you can run the pipes backwards, but I mean, if it's connected to the FBO, then I don't know if the FBO is connected, obviously, to the Seal Rock, which may be the same pipe connected to everything else, and you run the water that direction, and so you can basically turn off Seal Rock's connection.
You want to put the joint at the R station so that the FBO is feeding into the Well, to the pipe that's connected at the, at the ARF.
Right.
You want to go that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got quite a bit of ground there that isn't necessarily a straight shot.
No,
but, I mean,
not
we
too
can,
bad, though.
We can figure it out, but it's a little early to do that. I mean, we can just take a lineal shot and give a very broad cost,
yeah.
But it would need to be understood that it's a very, very broad cost.
Yeah, that's all
wrong.
But I mean, yeah, I'm pretty confident with Dave Wheeler's figures. He's, you know,
well, we don't need to get one from the contractor. I mean, we do cost estimates all the time.
Okay.
We've got a database that we build from and stuff like that.
Just want to know what size pipe, right?
It's the size of pipe and, you know,
well,
the mechanical joints
that.
And all of those, the valves and things like that that you would need to kind of estimate.
So, yeah, broad strokes. That'd be great for us to know.
On the back on the water tie-in, part of the problem with that property and the reason why political maneuvering might not be very helpful is that that land was purchased with public funds, from FAA public funds, and so they're pretty sticky about releasing it.
Well, I'm not sure that you release it. I'm not sure whether or not. Just going for an easement or a grant, a use.
We might be able to go for an easement, but I don't think we'll be able to get the land released simply because it was paid for with public funds.
But if we put our pump station on there, I can't imagine why they would disagree. For fire flow, I just can't see any reasons
why not.
Yeah,
they haven't said no, but they will not make a decision until we go through all of the process.
But
we had a
enough.
Yeah, they're not crazy about an easement either. We had a very heated discussion with them.
Well, that's what I mean. Is
because
about
the pump station. Yeah, about the pump station because it isn't simply for. The way it's being designed, it isn't simply for airport use.
What size were you talking? I mean, it could be, but you know, what, 40 by 40? I mean, how much?
It's actually a building.
Yeah,
it's,
I know, but and, how much space can a building take up?
It's not really the space that's the issue, it's the ownership that's the issue. That's that their whole thing there is that because it is not directly for the airport benefit, the airport is incidental as a benefit.
I think fire flow would be more than incidental.
Yeah, but
well, especially the long-term project is to develop the airport.
Yeah,
with commercial properties, commercial rents, commercial space. That's what we want to do. I mean, why does the city own the airport?
Yeah.
You have to ask yourself why do you guys want this airport? Is it just to sell fuel, or is it to make the city
well,
money?
Well,
no,
her problem is
the city.
That's fine, but her problem is dealing with the government, evidently. So, you know,
yeah,
it's who the government is.
It's the FAA that have the problem.
Yeah,
they're the ones that say, you know, it's not exclusively an airport use. You're actually using it for outside airport use, and so
well,
is that tie? Is
but
that
it's off by 101. I remember 1,000 yards from the airport runway. But I'm, you know, just.
It's mind-boggling,
yeah.
What would it take for them to be satisfied with the fact that this water is for airport use?
Well, they've got some little checklist of the bean counter.
We have a process that we have to go through, and it's rather lengthy and it's very specific and it's expensive. So we're currently trying to figure out how to do that.
Good. Yeah.
Is there alternative property that could be used?
No, for the tie-in with Seal Rock. See, if it was just a matter of bringing in a connection off of a pipe that was outside of airport property, it would be a different question. But we're actually putting the pump, which is going to be used to feed Seal Rock, which is a non-airport function, on airport property. And that's currently part of the major hang-up right there. So we have to work through that with them.
Oh. There's another alternative, perhaps, is there's a piece of property just would be south of that's not owned, but it's right on 101.
It's that little niche.
Yeah, and it's private property. You could probably, you know, pay that guy a lease and he'd be jumping for joy. But, you know, there may be another way to go instead of going through a year's worth of gyrations, just move your pipe.
You mean further south of where the fire department is?
Yeah,
further
south,
yeah. This way.
There's a couple of privately owned pieces of the property there.
Mm-hmm.
And just basically tell FAA.
And that I'd love to say that to the FAA, but unfortunately, there's more of them than there are of us. But
what about
not anymore? They're all furloughed.
What about and I don't know. At some point in time, it would seem to me that if you brought some bigger guns in, like if we could get a congressman or a senator to say, you know, this is going to, it's going to be a benefit to two different communities and the airport, you know, Seal Rock community, south part of Newport, and the fire department, something like that. I don't know if that could help.
It won't help right now, because they haven't said no. All they've said is do your work, do your due diligence, do your preliminary work, and let us see it. They won't say yes, but they haven't said no.
Right.
They just said, look, you have to understand, you must go through this process, or we're not even going to discuss it. They really, they won't even discuss it at this point until we do that paperwork. So it's in the process.
Well, get the paperwork done, but if you run up against, Ted said, something, I mean, I'm willing to call it Wyden.
You're right.
Sure. No, if we get to that point, it's just a little early now, because we haven't really presented everything the way they've asked for it yet. We tried to shortcut it,
Well,
because we thought it was a simple easement, but for the FAA, no easement is simple.
I think it's simple. Especially
which is
why that little thing might be a better alternative.
But they looked at that. They looked at the little niche. They went onto the property and looked at the little niche. So where they have the pump station currently designed is actually several iterations down the road in the design. So they've looked at several different places for it, and that appears to be the best location. They looked at that property. Tim and Adam at Seal Rock
FAA,
and
right.
Oh, no, FAA hasn't gotten all the paperwork yet. They haven't even started yet. So, and we were like this close to getting Kayla and talking about what we needed to do for the environmental when they got furloughed. So we're on hold until they get back.
It's a little bit different from that, but part of the dilemma for the Air Museum was their perception, and rightly or wrongly, that the culvert is not long enough, wide enough for wider access to the fire station. So if you put that in your little think cap, they'll be able to figure out how to maybe extend the culvert either one side or the other, so that there's enough room to put in like a 24, whatever we require for ingress, egress.
For larger, both directions.
Both directions,
yes.
Yeah. Because right now, and that they just basically, their architect, whatever, they just said, well, it's going to take a year to solve that problem. And so basically, it's going to take a year no matter where you start, if that's the case. But I think if we need to, if someone were to lay a piece of pipe down there and put it in, you know. But I mean, the idea was to see if we can get it going.
That's a good point. Well, we're down there working in that area.
Especially the pump station. I mean, if you start tearing up stuff, you got equipment and a water line going through and all this other stuff.
Right. You're right there. Yeah.
We can bring it up, or I will bring it up and make sure that we talk about it. Just remember that FEMA grant is paying for the water, and if we were to do the culvert, the city would have to pay for it itself.
No, that's fine.
So I'm not really sure where we stand.
Culverts aren't
that
expensive.
Yeah, but not until you start thinking that you have to move the gate. And
no, the gate will be further. I mean, with the culvert is this side of the gate.
But
it's in place, and then you do that later after as long as you have it in place. You know.
Yeah.
It's basically a systems and development, upsizing.
Okay, Melissa, want to continue?
Yes.
Got cold, huh?
The FAA is on furlough, so I really don't have much to tell you. We had some things that we were discussing. We were planning to have a meeting with Kevin. The contractor has some questions that he wants. He wants to do a change, and I'm not willing to let him do it because there is no benefit to the airport. So we needed to talk to Kevin, but they're on. So everything is on hold. Nothing's going wrong, but everything's on hold.
So there's no movement, no construction?
It wasn't supposed to be till...
It's not till spring anyway.
Spring, right.
But we were working on a schedule with the contractor and getting him set up to when he was going to have his submittals in so that he would be able to start. And everybody, put a good word in with whoever you consider your higher power, because we do not want this much rain next year. We will
not
be in
early.
Big trouble if we have this much rain next year.
But we don't get typhoons coming across.
For soil problems or for?
Yes, because once we pull back that pavement, we are at the mercy of the weather.
Okay.
And have argued and stressed to everybody that they have to have it capped. They have to have it capped by the end of September, but that would not have helped us this year.
That was unusual.
So next year we want to...
So Melissa, the existing runway is gone. We're not overlaying what we have?
No, the existing runway, no, we're not overlaying. It's going to be all removed.
It's reprofiled.
Right.
Yeah.
It'll be the same location.
it's changing from the shed to the crown.
Right.
So the whole thing goes.
Okay.
And it's narrowing, so.
Yeah, I know that.
You can take the old runway home and put it at your house.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll recycle it, I hope.
I hope they do too.
Well, they will.
We don't have to find a place for all that asphalt. So we're thinking about using it on the road that goes around the airport to kind of stabilize it a little bit. Mm-hmm. But again, we haven't really had a chance to talk because we need Kevin to be around.
Who owns that material once it comes off of there?
Contractor.
So that's income.
Yeah. The roof, I am still have not received the report that I need. I talk to Derek periodically, and Derek talks to them periodically, and I guess the guy that's supposed to write it was in the office yesterday and kind of slumped by Derek. So Derek's on him to get it. Again, I have no idea what's taking so long. So there's that. The feasibility study should be drafted within the next week or two. That's it.
Okay, business plan and study group.
Well, I guess I'm the only guy.
Doug and Tom and Ted.
Thomas said he was taking a dog to the vet, you know, at OSU, I believe, today.
I was in the last meeting of the study group, at least. So I give you maybe a little bit of updates for folks that weren't. Mark didn't know that you were in there last Friday. Right now, a lot of it's still conceptual. People are getting their arms around the idea of a business plan and initial ideas were brought up and possibilities, and then. Some of those ideas are generalized right now, so we're not going yet to each page and that kind of thing for the old business plan. However, I can see where it's going to have to be directed to be a split business plan, because you have an FBO, which is our business, and then we have an airport, which is our business. So they're related, and they're a symbiotic kind of relationship, but also separate, because most airports sometimes will have a private company do the FBO. So in that place, time, you then kind of have to, your business plan is either given, it's just theirs, or it's not combined. So I think the difficulty is, at least in the group so far, is identifying, staying on track, and doing a business plan for the FBO and a business plan for the airport, and then looking at how both of those can work out to our benefit. And hopefully next meeting will be more nuts and bolts and less conceptual from there on. So that's basically it. We've identified our basic, some funding sources, but people are bringing up other ideas. Thomas brought up his knowledge base of the Chinese economy, and he feels there someday in the future that a lot of Chinese people want to come here as an example, and because we have open space and all those things. But then how do you get them here? Then the idea of an airport or airline was brought up, and there's just a lot of things that you bring up one thing and that brings up another thing, and it's just hard to nail it down. So we'll see.
If I can piggyback, I was thinking about the good old days when we did have an airline service and being involved in that and listening to the community feedback and being at the airport regularly. And Ted, I was wondering if now would be the time, now that we're doing an overlay project and, you know, we've got some things happening in the city, if what your thought would be of possibly developing like a subcommittee with maybe somebody from the chamber to really start looking at the possibility of soliciting, you know, a part-time aircraft service that would service, I don't know, Boise, Seattle, Tri-Cities. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot going on at the airport, and it's a shame that we're going to have a beautiful airport and a beautiful facility that can support a Part 139 airline service, and it's just something, I'm sorry, Part 135.
Right.
Just something that I think we should really look at.
Mark, have you...
You know, again, my question is, why does the city of Newport want to own this FBO?
And which I mean, you got to integrate the whole thing in your business plan so that when you do put something out for a potential bid, if the city puts out an RFP or just an RFQ, you know, so to speak, you got to be able to define what that is. What are you willing to give away and offer? And I think that's something that ought to be part of your business plan when you recommend it. And you guys ought to be talking.
Can I?
Right.
Also, when we did Seaport, there were things that the city didn't take into consideration that would have helped us a little bit. And so we as a city really need to have a better idea of what we're going to ask of the airline itself before we do anything. Because I don't think, looking at the numbers, that we asked anything from them except for them to fly in. So they basically got free use of everything. Mm-hmm. Where in most airports they would have been charged for some things.
Well, right. That was a very difficult scenario, and lots of higher up level politics were involved in that. And if, I don't know if you were in part of the development meetings with Seaport, but it was a very ugly, almost fisticuffs. And so you're right. You're absolutely right. We were taken advantage of, and it's not going to happen again.
I think that we've learned a lot, but I think that we need to get our ducks.
Yeah, and I don't know what I want to characterize as being taken advantage of, but...
Well, I do. I will.
You know, but the issue is, generally speaking, to get an airline started or any company started, you do have to offer what you can offer. The city doesn't have a lot of money. All they can do is not take something that's not there yet. So that, whether that's taken advantage of or incentive, it depends how you look at it. But, you know, that's... I don't care who it is, any airline, any company coming in. If you want to encourage companies to come in, a lot of cities will actually offer tax incentives. That's a loss of income. But if you're saying, well, you know, we're getting zero income now, and if you come in, we won't get any money from you, we lose money. You know, when I look at it, well, if you're getting no money now, and somebody comes in and presents a business to you and gets all this stuff, and you still have no money. You have an airline, you have other things. So. There is an advantage. That's why I don't think it's, you know, being taken advantage of for not getting paid. If they came in and all of a sudden you're earning less money, then that's, you're taking advantage of. But in this case, that wasn't. You know, we weren't making as much, but we were making zero to begin with. So.
Well, all we have to offer is a beautiful airport in a beautiful community with fuel sales. That's right now. That's all we have to offer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's all we're getting too. So what I'm getting at is we're earning nothing now. But so you want to make it so that they, in the future, if they become productive, then they have, you know, it's kind of, you're asking for warmth from a fire before you get the logs there. You know, and so you got to get somebody in there. If I run an airline business, as you know, you start with a large fortune to make a small one. So there's not many guys willing to pony up that money and hope that they get money in.
I think it's unrealistic to have a startup airline in this environment right now. Your best bet for building traffic is having an express, you know, some alliance with Horizon or United Express,
right,
would be the ones. Then people can connect on through, go transcontinental, mm-hmm, their bags go, everything works. The fly-by-nights, you know, it's hard to invest up front to get...
Yeah. Well, I was not implying...
going, but...
No, anybody in the aviation business knows that that's crazy, but what I was implying is doing a little bit of legwork and see how many express operations there are out there,
right,
that maybe have been looking at the growth and development of the coast, and maybe looking to expand over here because there isn't service over here. That's what I was referring to.
Well, then market research is what needs
exactly
to be done, right?
Yeah.
So market research, and then what can we offer, and what the actual costs and benefits would be to the airport itself.
I mean, supposedly, the mayor's office has the numbers for Seaport, and they have all that information available. Right. That was part of the contract, mm-hmm. that we had their sales information and their seat tickets available, their seat numbers available, mm-hmm. For future reference to do a market analysis. So those numbers are available.
Right.
Thank you, Jeff, for volunteering. I appreciate that.
Well, I mean, the other issue is, people like to volunteer the Chamber of Commerce all the time, and there's nobody here. It's like, you know, you're elected when you're not here, and they always have they're a nonprofit organization. They don't work for anybody other than the members. So it's not a benevolent society either. So. That they have some people. If you can get some folks there to volunteer, that's great.
Well, the other thing is that they are. I mean, just by virtue of the fact that if their ear is in the right place and they happen to hear something, that's not right. necessarily that they're going out looking or spending a lot of dollars trying to find. But if they happen to hear from talking with their other colleagues that there's mm-hmm. airlines around every. That are looking, like Mark says, to invest in the coast.
Well, if we have one, of course, up there, the closest would be Kenmore, probably the easiest one to branch out. But yeah, if someone will make some contacts, and then again, who's in charge? But I mean, that maybe Chamber could look at that. Or somebody can make some calls. Yeah.
Pernet, is Cape Air gone forever?
We haven't contacted him.
We haven't contacted him, but apparently that whole scenario with Cape Air versus Seaport losing their contract really burned their bridges, and I can find out.
Because money's money, they're doing well. Okay.
They're doing very well, and that's what they're good at.
Yeah.
I can do some research into that and find out.
That'd be nice. Yeah.
It'd be nice to have a business plan for that airport. I mentioned to Mark 2 years ago, in some place in the file of the previous city manager, I mentioned about a company that wanted to relocate. The fellow had traveled through here, owns the companies in California, he was tired of all the taxes and what have you. Mm-hmm. And that was, I think he had 14 employees, and he makes parts for Boeing. And he's looking for a place to locate. And it'd be nice if we had a plan or something for folks like that who wanted to relocate.
I've got a plan.
Be a business there.
I'll give you what you need. Come on up.
I know.
There's my business.
Yeah, I know. There were some contacts made with him on the phone and what have you. I have no idea where that went, but he wouldn't. Within 5 years, he wanted to relocate. So, pardon me?
They're going to do manufacture?
Yeah. Yeah, they manufacture the parts for some of the Boeing aircraft. And also for some of the
that sounds like an aircraft.
Some of the older aircraft also, okay. Special parts and what have you, and they were looking at Nevada or Oregon.
Do you have his name and number?
I have his card, but I passed on all the information to previous city manager. I'll see if I can find that information that I had.
Yeah, because
do you still have that, or you know?
No, I've been through the files
really?
In his office.
Okay,
he may have given them to somebody else.
Yeah,
but I've never seen anything.
He made a couple
like
phone
that.
Calls to the gentleman, but I have no idea what came out of that. And I passed everything on to. I have the fellow's business card. I have his backdoor number. He gave me also because he was that interested in doing something.
Let me call him.
Yeah, so I'll see if I can find that information. Pass
okay,
on
well,
to
and if you get a name, yeah. maybe I've only gone through the files in my office. The major portion of the files yeah. are out in Cindy's office, and perhaps yeah. there is something there.
But I think that's the type of business we'd like to have, because that...
Oh, hell yes.
Okay, minimum standards.
Okay, so I have cobbled together a new version that I sent out to the committee a couple days ago. Shows 0.3 is the version number. 0.4 includes a table of contents, but otherwise no difference there. It is based on the minimum document that you sent me and the one from McMinnville and Ralph's comments and edits. and it includes the idea of a permit, some kind of an operation operations permit, which was in what Ted sent around earlier. So that would be the document that somebody would sign to perform commercial aeronautical activities resident on the airport. And so there's the distinction in this between activities that are based here, basically tenant activities, and those that are what are called a mobile service provider. So there is capability for individuals who are not tenants to provide commercial aeronautical services on the property. Mm-hmm. They have to sign an annual agreement that says they will abide by the minimum standards. But it's, you know, it's not a lease or tenancy. The idea is that most of these commercial activities would require some leased space, if not
yes.
all of them. Right. And a question comes up as to what the insurance requirements are of the city, and you want to explain what tenants right now from for city property have to be covered? Because
yeah.
I refer to the fact that it should be consistent with the city insurance requirements, but I didn't know what they are.
Well, I don't know necessarily that they're requirements, but here's what I've, of the questions you sent me yesterday. The farmers market has they carry $1 million liability insurance. So that's not each individual seller, but they're all part of a consortium, and so the farmers market organization, overall arching organization, has $1 million. We have a couple of people who do classes at the rec center who are not contracted or paid by the rec center. They just they pay for the room and they do Pilates, or they pay for the room and do aerobics or things like that.
Right.
They carry $1 million liability insurance. I don't see it. I don't know all of the ins and outs. I don't know that the city has specifically said $1 million is the thing. Yes, Melissa.
I believe we sent out an insurance table, and that had been vetted through our risk manager, and it had the quantities on it that he thought needed to be there.
And that was in the prior draft that you sent
yeah.
around, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
But
that,
so Melissa, to be honest, that's impossible. It's impossible.
But that's what the risk manager.
But that's because the risk manager is ignorant of the aviation market.
Well, I think what we could do is leave that part blank and let city council figure that out.
Yeah.
Let them make the determination.
Well, I only bring it up because it will give you something to go.
Right, right. No, so we have that for reference. But it would be nice to have a document that would frame it. And
mm-hmm.
we have
so, Doug, what do you put specifically insurance are we talking about? Are we talking about
slip and falls?
Well, it's liability insurance.
For you go on your hangar, slip and fall?
No, for commercial activities. So somebody comes and they operate a business at the airport, they're leasing space, and they're
okay.
running an avionics shop, they're doing mechanical work on aircraft, they have a hangar, and for their liability, for their commercial operation, whether somebody slips and falls on the floor there, or the airplane falls over, or whatever, as part of the liability against the airport, you're not going against the airport, but it being against the commercial entity itself.
But wouldn't they have their own?
Yes, they would have their own. This is just to say you have to have your own insurance, mm-hmm. and you should.
I think
be
they
insured.
Have to have insurance to get a business license.
No, you don't.
You don't. It's a nice thing.
Apparently not. I mean, we don't check to see if people have. They just come in and get their license, and
you know, a lot of businesses are bonded. Obviously, they come on your property and do things.
Right.
But,
$1 million. So much for the minimum standards.
Well, that's a catastrophic limit. It's
yeah.
like, you know,
yeah.
for one
the
big
minimum, it depends on how much more you require of that. As an example, or the half marathon we've been on has to meet, somebody came up with that limit too, but we have to meet it. We pay $300-$500 a year just to have people run in the sand. You know, but that's, for some reason, that is available, at least.
My biggest concern is, as we try to develop the airport,
mm-hmm.
that we're going to discourage business from coming, you know, because of
well,
these.
Well, if you get more than $1 million, you will.
Right.
It becomes more difficult, I think, after you start getting higher and higher.
Well, what Doug is saying is very common, because when I put a communications equipment on the PUD tower on Table Mountain, it automatically had to come up with $1 million for insurance and what have you. So what And anybody who's coming, anybody who wants to go out to the airport, this is very common, and this is the type of person that, or type of business I think we want anyway. And to them, this is just a normal
right.
Requirements.
Yeah,
right. Nothing.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You had mentioned the Happy Street Pier. Each of those tenants have $1 million policies too, and that's written into the lease. So,
and we do it our bed and breakfast.
And it's not that spendy.
So, well, I don't know that necessarily $1 million is the magic number. You know, I say I'm thinking get the minimum standards and leave that issue up to the say that we have to have. We want to take this to the city council and get their blessing on it anyway. Well, say we left the minimum, the insurance requirements empty.
Ted, couldn't we specifically state that in each individual lease as hopefully businesses come onto the field?
Well, the way I had it written down was it's as agreed upon in the lease. You just make that statement. I mean, right. Mm-hmm. Each lease might have an agreement, so it's very.
But what you have to watch out for is that the core idea of this minimum standards is that you're going to be offering the same deal to everyone,
yeah.
Right? That you can't say, well, for you don't have to pay insurance, but for you, you do.
Your lease.
That's exactly what your lease is not supposed to be about. So mm-hmm. It needs to be fair, and there needs to be a published rule, and get some sense of what that is. I mean, do we just want to be sure that nobody's going to be held liable?
And,
or
yeah, I don't know. John said
neglect.
That, and I take your point, Ralph, from your email. Our insurance carrier said that he can, and whether he's trying to drum up business for himself or not, but he said basically $1 million worth of liability insurance, it's $500 a year, right around $500
a year. If he'll sell that to me, I will buy it tomorrow. I bet you Doug would, too.
Take three of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's because I know that was completely, just a few, you know, that was so much less than what you had said.
It's the product liability that you're not looking at.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I don't know what that is.
It's different than general liability.
Okay.
It's
more,
I'm just kidding.
So you're looking more like $5,000.
Well, that's what I didn't know or don't know is what the difference between, you know, the liability that I have on my house or the car.
Yeah, like I have liability on my hangar out there, and that's like $400 a year.
But we're just going out
right.
Exactly. And that's if you come to visit me in the hangar, fall and break.
Not fall and hurt. Right.
But if I work on somebody's airplane and my hangar and the wing falls off.
Is that a product?
That's like $5,000.
That's a different one. Okay. Well, you know, like I say, I'm just for
involved with that one.
You know, I think that the best thing to do is if we can come up with minimum standards and leave that part done. I don't know necessarily that we can. The other thing is that with our new city attorney coming on. And we just say, you know, do you, which way would work best for the city to have it just say that and make sure all the leases are the same. I mean, once we go, if we went to the lease saying
the only concern about we have now is not, you know, everybody's hangar, but I mean the commercial operations.
Yeah. So if we start leasing property, we can say that it's in the lease that you must carry this
exactly.
Much. You know, but once we name a price, at least for the assurances. And I don't know if those have to be written into the standards, Doug, or not. I'm leaving you.
No, as long as
we're requiring,
the wording I got from McMinnville said, for example, for an FBO, each FBO shall meet state of Oregon insurance requirements.
Right.
Shall therefore maintain the types and amounts of insurance as specified in the lease permit or agreement.
Yeah. So they don't
name them. They won't say what. And obviously, the state has some expectation, but
it doesn't have to be a million. It could be.
Well, I mean, if you leave that
not really
paragraph like it is, you're probably it flew there. Mm-hmm. So why? You may start putting numbers in your.
But we need to refer people to.
Yeah. Of course, you refer to the state of Oregon, and the reality is, I don't think the state of Oregon requires anything.
Right.
So
But
neither does the federal government.
So the job. So thank you.
Okay.
Well, as far as I don't think, I mean, we've got this kind of a draft out there for the minimum standards, and I haven't seen your most. I didn't look at your most recent. If you compiled all the stuff, yet.
Right.
And then I'm sure
the only thing
would want to see it. Everybody else wants to see these things.
Yeah, sure.
So we're still
just
take a look.
Pass it around and see if it passes muster and. do any wordsmithing that needs to be done. But
yeah, the only other item I had was I don't think we have an airport handbook per se. This wording again came from the Minville version. But there should be some basic document that talks about, you know, you got a left-hand pattern and pattern altitude and things like that for the airport in terms of general operations.
But we also have this. Okay, the air side of things is with the FAA, and they do have that recorded.
Right.
It's traffic patterns and stuff like that. The ground stuff, there used to be a set of airport rules when Dennis Reno's was in power.
They're probably still around somewhere.
They're somewhere, and I know I gave a copy of them to Gene Cosey because he didn't have them. So they're around now.
Do you remember what the title of them is? I can start. We can start.
It was a nice portfolio.
But Doug, you mentioned, I'm not sure why the airport wants to get involved with the air.
Well, they can't and they shouldn't.
No, it's just documenting things. It's not claiming any rights there. It's just declaring them and keeping that, and for ground operations.
Those are mostly FAA rules and regulations. Right?
Yeah. They're published everywhere.
Yeah, but I'm not sure how it's referenced in there as of why it would be a minimum standard.
But we do have an airport certification manual that's required for, we are Part 139. Certified, and that's what this. And this has to be updated all the time. This includes what you have to do every day, what you have to do every week. You know, and it's it's a real care and feeding that the FAA does care about, because that's part of the brand assurance. Right.
That's the book they check every time that
exactly
they come to visit. So
that you visit your fuel, the fuel farm regularly.
Okay. Well, if I find these airport rules.
I may have a copy, but I remember giving them to Cosey, and that was probably the only copy I had.
No, hopefully, there's still somewhere.
There's files up in the attic in the FBO that have all kinds of stuff.
That's probably in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. Although Gene said he couldn't find them, that's why he didn't find them.
Because that would be nice to have.
Okay, I'll check that out, and if I get them, I'll get them to you. Okay.
But, so I'll just make an adjustment to the regulations section here. We need that level of detail.
One thing I might add, and I've said this to some of you, we're going to be looking at the city business licensing process. We're going to reopen that box here in the near future. And one of the things I'm concerned about is that when we do things like airport licensing, or whatever you want to call it, in the minimum standards, that we're consistent. And it probably shouldn't be a big issue, but when we address licensing of businesses and requirements on businesses in the city, they should be the same as the airport.
I think I had a paragraph written about that where it just states that the persons doing business out of the airport would be consistent with the rules and regulations of the city. That's a minimum standard.
Send me yours again. I couldn't find them today.
Tenant businesses probably have to have a business license, but that kind of goes without saying. I don't know whether we need to say that in the
Well, but the point is we shouldn't.
Well, this is a permit, and there. But this, I mean, these things are very specific to the airport. They don't apply elsewhere.
Yeah.
Well, the permitting and licensing process, for example, you talk about insurance. But if we said everybody doing business in the city had to have $1 million, but everybody at the airport had to have $2 million,
right?
Something like that.
But the permit we have here is pretty.
You better not be getting that.
Okay.
I will
be consistent. Okay.
Anything else in regards to that? Okay, Ken?
No, good. Thank you.
So what we need is a statement regarding the insurance to take that insurance matter to the council.
Yes. No.
For clarification, not for this document, but when we want to point to something, we need something to point to instead of say, well, Melissa's got this thing that she put together.
We would come up with a recommendation.
I think you need to have the document because the council's got to have something to have the context. You can't just go to the council and say, what kind of insurance should we have?
It's the other way around. We're recommending something to them.
Okay, so we need to prepare that.
Yeah.
That sheet for insurance.
Well, one with the whole document.
It will be included within the minimum standards, I would think.
They'll make it in the annex.
Okay, number nine, I must admit to you, confess to you, that I completely dropped the ball on that. I don't have a clue what I remember us talking about that, and it just completely fell off my to-do list. So I will do that. I'm not going to make him wait another month. If I can put it together in a spreadsheet, I'll send it to everybody.
Ted, maybe I can just help you out. You know, the only thing that we really have right now that's making us money, other than annual leases on hangars, is fuel sales.
Yes, and we're doing great. As long as we're pumping gas to the Coast Guard, we're making money.
Yeah, of course we are. But we can't, I don't know if we can, sounds like we might be able to rely on those, but, you know, as a committee, we would, you know, we just want to make sure that we're responsible for the city to make money and not go broke. And if fuel sales are slagging, we just wanted to talk about it. We just wanted to see them on a graph or a pie chart.
That's what I'll do. And for how many years back do you want to go?
Oh, I think it was just 2 years.
Okay, two or three?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought the guys brought that in a couple meetings.
Well, you know, we talked about
the importance of that. But they didn't bring it back before that.
It happened a couple months, and then we just didn't see it again.
But I thought you were looking for, you know, what was before. It's up to you.
It'd be nice to have 5 years of numbers, you know, just summarized at a monthly level, so you get a sense of the ups and downs and when Seaport came and went.
Yeah. Okay. I apologize. I will sit Lance and Terry on that right away, and then have them send me the stuff, and I'll put it in a nice spreadsheet and send it all out to you guys too.
And do we have numbers of operations too?
You mean landings and okay?
Yep. If you have
fuel,
because that would be good. I mean, from a business plan, you'd like to kind of know what things have been and moving forward also.
Doug, and to piggyback with that, how about labor? You know, how about a labor report?
Yeah,
that's the expense, sure.
Melissa's working on that one right now.
Because
I asked her to put it together, and hers is going to be more along the lines of a pretty extensive report, because she's going back to 2001 or so and studying the labor force from the airport from 2001 to present. And I'm anticipating, you know, a 10 to 15 page report possibly from her on that.
I was going to show you never give an engineer a simple job.
Exactly.
But anyway, I'll put that in there too. Okay, fuel landings, labor, that one's being worked on. But if I've got something where it just said in 2001 there were eight employees, in 2002 there were six.
I hope it'd be monthly, because I know in summertime probably you experience the same thing. I've got 22 employees right now. I've got seven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the airport didn't go up and down too much during that time. I mean,
I think when
but maybe it should.
What was his name? Sorry for the W. I always want to say Wanstead.
Winningstead.
Yeah. When he had it, it seems like there were more, you know, more employees, but they may have all been.
Well, he had services too. He had he had flight instruction. He had scenics. Yeah. You know.
Yep.
He had a lot of. He had provided service out there.
Do you actually have the data from him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about the business?
I believe we do, because we didn't buy it until 2007, right? Or six.
Whatever.
And we got it from prior to that, so.
I didn't realize you had the data.
Okay. Yep. So the other thing is, I struck out. I couldn't find any. I thought maybe library staff would know, because we know a ton of artists. If there were any artists that wanted to go to help us out and develop a logo and, you know, basically draw up a proposal for a sign.
And did you find anybody?
Before you were on board, I was given that task 2 years ago, and it's been 2 years since I've been flashing this thing around.
I've seen that a few times.
And if nobody wants it, I'll just can it. But
the plane was out of date then. The plane's out of date.
But that, you know, that the with that Deco bridge and that plane.
There you go. Thank you. It's an Art Deco airplane. See, he gets it.
Yeah, right.
Just go back to Jersey, wherever you're from.
And it's not flying under the bridge. That was a concern.
That's right. It's not flying under the bridge. He's already flown under the bridge.
No.
Well, why are we looking
Ted, you know what? I've given task. I do my task. I don't know. So here you go.
It's nice, but yeah.
You know, I mean,
it needs a structure around it.
Meaning
structure. Do a structure
to hold the.
That's fine. I did my part.
Landscaping and structure. Okay.
There you go.
Okay. Well, the next part of that would be then is whether or not there's. If, what it would cost to manufacture and put one in the ground with the landscaping. And I don't know where we can, you know, because I like this. I mean, I think that's great. I especially keyed in Ralph right away on the plane. I like that thing. I thought that looked
good. I'm surprised you knew. Most people wouldn't know.
Yeah, I see that.
Their plane is.
It's Amelia Earhart.
Lockheed.
So, what would be the next thing to do with this? If the committee liked this sign, number one, does the committee like the sign? I guess
that's number one. Yeah.
And number two, how do we make it from that? Take it from there to, you know.
That's pretty easy.
To put it in the ground.
Well, in the ground. Well, it's two steps there. I mean,
see, because
how do you want to make it? You want it? You can take it down there, and they can digitize it and.
That you mean that Ken's?
Well, be sure yeah. that you were concerned that the colors and logo was consistent
yeah,
with the city.
That was
the same bridge, obviously.
That's the same bridge, and at least it says Newport Municipal Airport yeah. rather than ONP, because I was afraid at some point in time using ONP on everything. And I've told the guys that at the FBO, we've got all the clothing and hats off.
Yeah, nobody knows what that is.
ONP, and I wanted to bring the whole idea that this is a Department of the City of Newport back into the thing.
Right.
I think Municipal Airport gets really close mm-hmm. Because that's what it's called, Newport Municipal Airport.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not the City of Newport Municipal Airport.
Right.
But at least it doesn't say ONP on it, which is confusing too. I mean, it's not confusing to you guys because.
Yeah. Well, that was a marketing ploy and it worked very well in one airport on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. People had all their stickers, and that's one of those things that you don't need that as a. It's a sideline.
Well, I keep what I told Terry was once we come up with a sign, whatever it is, I really think it'd be great to put it on all of our, you know, our caps, and I mean, make it a brand.
Yeah, so but those jackets had a cool label. The guy in Newport, my car sticker.
Well, I can do anything with it that you want. I can take out the bridge, make the airplane smaller. I can do anything.
Turn the bridge green.
Yeah. I'm not sure about it. Yeah, I wouldn't.
Okay. The ONP thing is good, too. You know what the identifier is for Newport, Rhode Island? UUU.
Is that right?
Really?
Yes. So I'll do it anything with you want.
Okay.
Well, what do you want to do with it? I mean, let's either. Can we make a recommendation along with it? Personally, I don't think you're going to get. I think you, like somebody said, I would see the bridge more of a green color. You know, blue and green is fine. Gray doesn't. I don't like it personally. But that's a small. When they paint it, it'll be either you do it on a piece of material to have raised, and then they just basically lay the paint on top, and the stuff is on mm-hmm. top color. So mm-hmm. it's two tone.
Two colors.
Right now, two colored blue and green would probably you still see the airplane. You wouldn't have to have a. You wouldn't be a conflict there.
Are you limited to two colors? I mean, no. The bridge is really gray and.
Mm-hmm. Well,
just to
not
interject,
that of it,
I think yeah. Thomas had some very specific things, and if you start to go with this, I think when he comes back, he's gonna maybe want to go. I mean, he had some because he's done this.
Thomas. You know?
Yeah. Well, he is. He bought
Oh, he's not here.
No. He's not here now, but he will be next time. So I'm just saying.
You yeah. snooze, you lose, right?
He has some pretty specific things, I think, and he wanted to go very professional with it.
Well,
I mean, not that you aren't.
Thank you.
We can table this designs from him.
Let's just table this from
okay.
But yeah, I would wait till he, you know, personally, that would be my suggestion.
Okay, number 11.
Okay. Okay, we're going to drop this completely because I don't have enough time. Melissa doesn't have enough time. And you guys, we're six weeks away, I'm hoping or thinking that we're going to, before we have a new city manager, and I'm going to go back to being the library director. So,
you have plenty of time.
So, oh yeah, nothing else to do for the next 6 weeks. Yeah. So I'm going to let that drop out. And
the SWAT?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we ended up talking about those particular things.
Did you really? Okay.
Business plan, you can't help but bring it up.
Yeah, because that's it fits more in a business plan, strategic plan kind of scenario anyway. Yeah. And what we were using it for, and I told Melissa, just drop it and just go with the statistics that you got from the staffing timeline. It's just come up with a report of general staffing, how it has progressed or regressed over the years, and we don't need a SWOT analysis for that. So I just said to drop that.
Okay.
As far as number 12 goes, and did you all get the packet that Bob sent out? It has, and I understand that it doesn't read right according to what your understanding is.
Well, I moved here in 2011.
So there's how you could have gotten appointed and then have your thing end on 2013. Is there anyone besides Doug, besides yours, that may be wrong?
It was like November of 2011 when it started.
Okay, and they're supposed to be... Well, anyway, I was asked to... Here's what I'll do. Can we pass that around, Bob, and have
I think everybody has a copy.
Just check it.
Yeah. Just check it. If it's okay, if you think it's okay.
Yeah.
If you don't, then we'll check it out and see who's...
This is what's on the...
That's
city
on the
website.
City website.
I have
yeah.
no idea where these came from.
Okay.
Additionally, I talked to Peggy about 1515, and there was a point where this was mentioned that it was addended by ordinance 1718 or something, which nobody could find.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect
so what's the
that
years of service or terms of. Is it mentioned in there?
It does. The original members appointed, let's see, shall draw lots for their terms of office. 3 for a 1-year term and 2 for a 2-year term. Upon expiration of any term of office, the mayor, with approval of the council, shall appoint a member for a term of office of 2 years. And it discusses what a vacancy is defined as, and the mayor generally fills those with approval of the council. I think the one that it talked about that amended this may have been as, and there's something in my head that says it may have been as simple as it changed airport supervisor to airport director. I mean, it was pretty simple, as I recall. I don't think it really substantially changed this. And the municipal code pretty much says about the same thing as this ordinance.
So why don't we go by and check it? If you don't agree with the time, because what we have to do is number one, according to Peggy, the elections should probably be held. The other committees most often hold their elections the first meeting in January, but that would only be if the mayor needs to reappoint or appoint anew. Members of the committee, that has to be done at the first meeting in January, first city council meeting in January, and then the first airport meeting after that, then there could be elections for whatever positions that we have here. Basically, I think it's just chair.
So elections for, because the members are appointed by the mayor.
Yeah, right. But then within, correct. And they're not really elections, I mean, they just kind of sit around and say Thomas isn't here today, so he's the new chair.
Right.
Or Thomas isn't here today,
so dogs.
Mm-hmm. Those kind of things. So anyway, but that's the only information I have. It's the biggest thing, Doug. Yeah, if you didn't move here,
mine seems to be okay. Yeah. So if you just got one correction, you're done.
Okay.
So
I can have IT.
We're all
going
to have to be refreshed, I guess.
Did you fill? Yeah. Did you fill an unexpired position by chance?
Well, he took over. Somebody left. And they didn't change that column.
Two people left.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. That's what happened.
So
who was it? 06? When was it? 06 is probably.
Well, it says 06, but yeah. Like
what may it may be that the term ends on the 31st of this year.
Everybody's.
It may be if you were filling a partial term for somebody.
Thomas and Jeff are until 2015. Everybody else
right.
is end of this
so,
year.
Okay.
I think my 2 years are up.
Mine too. So, Bob, Ordinance 1515, what I heard you say is this is no longer legal language.
No, it is. It was amended by another ordinance that we couldn't find.
Okay.
But I suspect... And I'm just saying this is just the faint memory I have, that all it did was it changed airport supervisor to airport director. I don't think it substantially
changed anything else.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, this is, I want to encourage everybody to read this, you know, what our responsibilities are. It's interesting. I had the short-term version.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk to Peggy, because I think what happened is they put new names in and didn't change the dates.
Mm.
They got the term begins, but they didn't change the appointed dates. That's what happened.
That's awesome.
Mm.
Okay.
Easy fix.
Any comments from the committee?
Well, let's see. The business plan group is going to, I guess, meet again, I think, 3 o'clock Friday.
Which group?
Business plan.
Okay, good.
So if anybody wants to attend, that's fine. Be at the airport. That's all I know.
I have one comment. Ted, before you kind of came over and took over here, and I appreciate you being at the meeting, it's nice to have you involved in the airport. Last summer, we talked about the importance of developing relationships with the Oregon Department of Transportation slash aviation, building relationships with the FISDO and the FAA guys up in Seattle. I don't know when the last time Terry or Lance have been to these meetings.
Lance went to the RAP meeting in Seattle a month ago or so. It was called RAP, and Terry and Lance both went to a meeting in, I'm going to say Independence, but when you said FISDO, they both did that. One of the things that I'm going to talk to the new city manager about is, and this is one of the things that we're doing with the work profile, is, you know, this new person is going to have to make a decision as to, because you're exactly right, somebody needs to be out there professionally networking and working,
building relationships,
these professional organizations.
Right.
And neither Lance nor Terry are that person. So, my recommendation to the new city manager is going to be, you know, working with you guys to decide, do we want an airport director or not? But if you don't get an airport director, you don't get out there in those organizations. I just don't see it happening any other way, unless somebody from the committee basically becomes that de facto
the ambassador.
You know,
well, that should be an airport manager's responsibility.
It really should be, because that has continuity. You guys are appointed for 2 or 3 year terms, and you maybe run two terms consecutively, but at a point in time it's over, and then you have to start the whole process all over.
Right. So can I ask you then where you personally stand and where everybody stands here since the meeting that we had at the council chambers regarding the issue of a city manager, or I'm sorry, an airport manager?
I believe I'm going to recommend to him that we have an airport manager, because I don't see how the airport can be run. I can't do it from
no.
here. And I don't necessarily think, unless a new city manager has a lot of experience with airports and stuff, I don't see that he or she would be able to either.
You know, talk about an airport director in here as well as an airport manager.
Yeah, and I'm using the terms interchangeably, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they need it's a department of the city, so it needs a department head.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So that's my recommendation. Now whether he chooses to go that route or whether this, I have no idea. I have no idea how that's going to come.
Doug, is this something that you think, because I really believe in what you're saying, this is something after we get this guy in and start settling in at his committee meetings, that the airport committee has a formal presentation to the city council, maybe a 5-minute, media presentation about why we have the airport, why is it here, why is it important to the city, kind of like a really quick educational expose, and then make a formal presentation that we don't have one, and we need one. I think that's something that we should really start looking forward to in maybe around February, make an official recommendation.
You could, by then, hopefully, maybe the business plan would be updated and done. But without that being accomplished, you would probably be jumping the gun a little bit. Right now, you have one of our members here, Thomas, basically saying, well, if business is the way it is and it's not going to get any better, how are you going to afford to have anybody out there? So you have to answer those questions.
But you're treating the airport as if it's a business.
You can treat, you can hire all your people you want at a business, and if nobody comes through the door, you're going to lose money.
But we have obligations and general expenses for keeping this open, or supporting all the FAA activities, for example.
Well, the question to me has also been brought up, do we really need a Part 139? So, those are just things that people are going to ask. The meeting last night, as Ted saw, they had people bring up, well, we're going to close the Visual Arts Center, we can just close the airport. You know, those are questions that are, you got to have good answers. In other words, you can't just say, we're passionate about this, we need to have, it's going to make work.
But at the same token, Jeff, there's nothing wrong with the city evaluating why they have the Visual Arts Center. Why do we need the airport? Do we still want it? There's nothing wrong with that, to evaluate the fiduciary responsibility.
So far, I'm not hearing that they don't. So, I mean, it's like opening the box. let's just check and see if everything's working fine.
I understand, and that would be the other side of the thing that I would probably recommend to the city manager, or tell him at least, is that where I come in here as an airport director, I think I'd feel a whole lot better if the work was done on the front end, saying yes, we've decided we are committing to blah blah blah, because I'm moving my family and everybody else out to the coast to take this over, and if I come out here to take this over and say we get a city manager in December, and in March I'm a new airport director, and in May the budget comes out, the budget says, we're not supporting the airport any more than we are right now.
Right.
And now all of a sudden I've moved my family out, and I've made a lot of commitments, so it's kind of chicken and egg thing, which comes first, a good strategic plan and business plan, or
kind of the same time usually, but
I think it would be great, if the committee is a unified body in consonance with Ted said, when the new guy gets here sometime, within the next couple of months, was able to make a presentation and say, here's a high-level view of our business plan, here's where we want to go, here's what we think the issues of the airport are, and here's our recommendation on those issues.
Do you think
and one
be,
of the issues, of course, would be staffing.
Yeah, it would be staffing.
And the new airport, or the new manager will he's part of the committee practically. So, he'll be here. Do you want to make that, in front of the full council, or you want to make it first to him and then council? Or is there
I've always believed that, with the exception of a few people on the city council, particularly the mayor, they do not know the value or the citizens of this airport. Why we have it, why it's there, why it's critical. You do, you get it. And they don't, and I don't think they do. And I think we're trying to sell the airport in a positive light so we can get a good airport manager that can develop it, that can continue with FEMA grants, that can continue with development grants, maintenance grants. Exactly.
Right.
People don't know why we have it and why it's so critical that we keep it there and keep it running.
And so we have two different presentations, really. One, because the city manager hires he makes a decision about hiring the airport director.
Right.
The other presentation, and I kind of had thought that it had been discussed that this would be something the committee wanted to do, was at some point in time do a full presentation to the council about this is who we are, what we do, and why we're important.
I do.
No, sure. Well, no, it's a great thing to do. I mean, obviously, it hadn't been done enough prior for the Visual Arts Center, and we got a pretty good response there. So we don't have that many people show up for the airport. But, the idea is it's important so that the council is aware of what.
I spent a lot of time last night while I was sitting there thinking about if this were the airport, how many people would be in this room? And one of the things that you all have to think about is if and when it does come to that, and it probably will in some way, shape, or form over the next year, who's going to be there in that room, and how are you going to get the support? Right.
Yep.
I'm not planning on applying again. However, I need to have a chat with Ted. I was contacted by the state because they have some money for planning for disaster for that airport and what have you to do with contingency plans, what have you, at no expense to the city of Newport. And I'd like to chat with Ted and see if I can continue. Pardon me?
For emergencies and things?
That is correct. We've talked about major disasters and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was contacted about, they think they have some money and I'd like to work with these individuals, but I want to talk to you, Ted, to
sure.
see how I could go ahead and continue with this, my
That's
in my previous life, what
the
I'm
The other thing
doing.
About that is that because it's because it is the airport and because it is emergency planning, we should probably include, you know, Tony Garbarino, who's the city's, and also maybe Jenny Damaris, who's the county's emergency planner.
Search
because
and rescue.
Because they're all
together.
Yeah, and they're the ones who are, you know, even if the city was involved, I'd be passing it off to Tony Garbarino because that's his job.
Yeah.
And that would be one more reason. If we got it in the paper or media, why the citizens would say,
important.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
People in Lincoln City, they don't know that this is the value of this airport from a natural disaster standpoint. You know?
Well, the fire service, the public safety people do. It's not the general population.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And this is why it's important. Yeah.
And let me take it one step further, Mr. Chairman. How about calling the Northwest Regional Director for FEMA and say, hey, we want you to do a national disaster drill at our airport. One phone call. We could have hundreds of people down here with equipment. I mean, this is what the airport needs. It needs activity. It needs businesses.
Well,
it needs traffic.
Remember when the new Carissa came, decided
yes.
to come into Walport? You know, one of the things that, and people are not aware of this, they made a phone call to the state. We got the the tower folks, the guard out of Cape Falls that were doing, if you were a flyer up here and whatever, you know that we actually had an air traffic controller here for a period of time.
Temporary.
So that airport, again, was very valuable for bringing things in. So.
Huge. So yeah. I don't know if you know who the Northwest Regional FEMA director is.
Yeah. He used to be a fellow I know extremely well. He used to be in charge of Oregon Emergency Management. Now he's in Bothell, Washington for Region 10.
That's right. He was AM last year, 2 years ago.
Yeah. He came over from a retirement and whatever. Yeah.
Would you mind calling him?
No problem. I want to go through Ted and the proper channels of that and what have you. And
say, listen, we want to do a drill in our airport. We want you guys to bring down your equipment, your generators, your trucks, your bulldozers, whatever, your helicopters. We want to do a drill here. That's what this airport needs.
Coordinate with the county. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Really good.
Any other comments from the public comments?
Thanks for coming down.
Where is the
If nothing else, you have the information for the agenda next time, Ted?
I do. And when would you like to talk about that?
Thursday?
I think I'm good.
What's tomorrow?
Tomorrow's Wednesday.
I got to go to PD. I'll pop in if you're available.
Yeah. Here's the deal. I'm going to go back to my office. Do you want to come down and just look at my schedule right now?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay.
Okay, let's see what... I'm trying to think of something.
Because this is a week from hell as far as meetings go. But I have.
Okay. I'll come down very shortly.
Okay.
Very shortly.
What do you want on the next agenda?
He's there too.
He has information for the next agenda.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Thank you.
This Mark.
Because you're not. Because
you're
not.
Great.
Go ahead.
I was gone last time, what have you, because I saw these today. Going, these are really good. I was able to take a look at that.
No, it's not really.
Good. Thank you.